Good morning, family. Good morning, everyone online. My name is Todd. I am a grateful follower of Jesus Christ, and every single day I celebrate my recovery. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we come to you in that sweet, sweet name of Jesus, Lord. We just thank you so much for the work on the cross. Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now to come in and take over, because this is your testimony. It's not my testimony. You just give me the strength to tell it, Lord. So whatever you want to be heard, Father God, you just take over and let you get the glory today, Father. This is not about anything that I have done. It's just what you have allowed me to endure, Lord, so that I can just point it all back to you. So we just love you today, Lord, and we praise your name, Jesus. And we all pray together in your name. Amen. Revelations 12:11. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. The blood of the Lamb has already been supplied, and this is my part. I was in the 12th year of my addiction when I became homeless. It was a culmination of bad choices and circumstances, but mainly bad choices. The evidence of complete disorder in my life. But I'd like it if you, the church, the bride of Christ, will help me today. Help me to honor and praise the one true King with me today. Throughout the testimony, you're going to hear the Holy Spirit show up, and you're going to see God show out. He will show up as provision. He's going to show up as grace, as mercy, as hope. He shows up as restoration. He shows up as peace. He shows up like the all-sufficient Savior that he is. So when you hear God in this testimony, praise him, church. Lift your hands. He is worthy of all of our praise. Amen? Psalm 145:3. Great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. I had a typical childhood. It was great, in fact. Doing drugs just started off as a fun escape for me. And by the time I was homeless 12 years later, I had a serious addiction to heroin and opiates. And for any of you who think that that homeless guy, that the junkie is lazy, let me tell you, it's a full-time job with no days off. A typical day would begin for me injecting whatever drugs I had left, usually before the sun rose. We called this a wake-up shot. Next would be the hustle. This would anything that would put cash in my hands. On the good days, I was that dirty, unshaven guy at the freeway off-ramp, holding that cardboard sign, asking you to support my ever-increasing drug habit. Those days were really rare, though, because usually my morning wake-up was very small. It would only keep me from being physically sick just for a couple of hours. It's kind of like the worst flu you can ever imagine times 100, and then going to work. But on the not-so-good days, I shoplifted, I burglarized homes and cars, I sometimes robbed people, other homeless people. Anything that had a resale value was not safe around me. So when I'd finally get that 500-pound gorilla off my back that I call heroin addiction, I would go back to the hustle for more money. And then that was when I turned my attention to the other drugs, mainly methamphetamines. Meth fueled the hustle for me, but it made the heroin not last as long. So now I'm feeding two beasts. One morning, I'm just wandering around town. It's early in the morning, and been up for a day or two, and I'm in an alleyway, and I just get this hunger in my belly. I don't even remember how long it had been since I'd ate, but there was this hunger. And I don't know why, but I'm carrying a cup of yogurt in my backpack, and I reach for it. And I just hear, "That's not for you." So again, I reach for it. "That's not for you." I know something's going on right now. I leave this alleyway, and right in front of me is a city park. a whole block of a city park, and there's benches all throughout. And let me remind you, this is like 7:30 in the morning. And the first bench I come to, there's a plate, and it's covered in tinfoil. And I reach for it, I can feel the warmth off of the plate already. And so I unwrapped it, and there's two slices of hot pizza. And I just grabbed that first slice, and I devoured it. I mean, it was gone in probably like 15 seconds. So then I go to reach for that second slice. There it is again. That's not for you. And at that moment, I was just filled with a peace and a contentment and a fullness that I had never experienced. So I start having this conversation with the Lord, and I say, well, if it's not for me, who's it for? And he says, you'll know. So I start walking towards a light rail station, which is about a couple blocks away, but the length of the light rail station is a full city block, and it's rush hour. It's in the morning commute. And the Lord keeps on telling me, you'll know, you'll know. And as I'm walking through this station, no one makes eye contact with me. People are reading a book, they're in their phone, they're on the newspaper, but no one makes eye contact with me. I'm talking about 70, 80 yards. And at the end of the station, I see another homeless man, and he's digging through the trash. So I approached him, and he looked up. He's the first guy to make eye contact with me. And I said, here, this is for you. I was supposed to bring this to you. And he peeled back the foil, and he saw the slice of pizza. And he just welled up, and he started crying. And that hit me, and I didn't know what to say to him. I couldn't speak. I just turned and walked away. Just a few weeks later, as I was typically do, I would call to Georgia and let my kids know I was still alive. And it was during one of these phone calls, my then 14-year-old daughter answered the phone. Out of mouths of babes, right? She said to me, she said, you're my hero, Daddy. And it floored me. And I said, how can I be your hero? I'm a homeless junkie. She says, because you're bigger than this. And I know God has a plan for you. And you're going to beat this. Acts 2:17. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young will have visions. Old will dream dreams. July 5th, 2015. I traveled to the south side of town. I was going to pull a lick. And for those of you who don't know, a lick is a forced come up. It's, in this case, I was getting ready to commit some crime. I had two empty backpacks. I was going to fill up my bags with merchandise of a high resellable value. So I parked my bike behind an abandoned restaurant. And I pulled out my kit and shot up the rest of the heroin I had. And I nodded out. I don't know how long I was out for, but when I came to, a police officer was standing over me. Amen. I had over $55,000 in arrest warrants at this time, and I just wasn't going to talk my way out of it like I had in the past. So I'm handcuffed in the back of a squad car, and I know that the dope sickness is just hours away. But again, here comes this peace and this contentment. And this relief washed over me. It was like no other shot of dope I'd ever experienced. It was the presence of God. So, of course, he takes me to jail. About my third day, they start me on a heroin detox protocol, and I'm finally able to get an hour of sleep. When I wake up, the guy in the bunk next to me, who I didn't even recognize in the first 48 hours there, was another homeless guy who I had robbed just a couple months ago. This is how God chose to show me grace. Not only did this man forgive me and welcome me, he was offering me anything that he had of his. Soups, candy bars, just anything. He was just showing me the love of Christ. Every day after dinner, we would read the daily bread in jail. And it was a dormitory-style housing. There was about 120 men in my dorm. And so after we would read the daily bread, all the men would say, the prayers go up and the blessings come down. So I just got myself really quiet on my bunk. And I called out. I said, Jesus, I know you're real. You've showed up. You've been showing up. I can't beat this. I'm not stronger than a heroin addiction. I can't manage my own life. I need you. And I felt him say, I've been waiting for you to say that. The charges that I was facing, I had seen a friend get 9 months for. So I was preparing myself for a pretty lengthy jail stay. And I was surprised when 6 days later they called my name and they're like, Isaacson, you got an early kick. So I was only supposed to serve 15 days on something someone else got 94, and then they cut that right in half. Just enough time to kick the dope, right? So I took the light rail. They do releases early in the morning, so I waited for that light rail to start, and I rode it out, and then I walked 3 miles to my dope dealer's house. She asked me what I needed. Before I could ask for dope, Holy Spirit just jumps in and says, I need a bus ticket to Georgia. Listen, the dope dealer bought my bus ticket. Tell me he doesn't use anyone to carry out his will. So I know I need help. I need a program. I've been trying to get clean since 2004. Could never make it work. So I go to the local hospital in Savannah, and I go into the emergency room, and I beg them to find me someplace. And they put me in a place called Recovery Place. It's in downtown Savannah, smack dab in the middle of the hood. It's a state-run facility for alcoholics and drug addicts. We would affectionately refer to it as the last stop on the block, because if you didn't get it there, you weren't going to get it. I spent 19 days in detox. And the first Sunday that I was put into the recovery apartment, first Sunday, in comes Relentless Church from Wilmington Island to serve the community, just to feed us and love on us. And you know, the pastor could have came in and just did a little token, little message, but he didn't. He came in and he talked about how Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. And I could relate to that. I'd sold everything that God had for me for a hit of dope. So I figured you better get plugged into this group. This is divine appointment. Get plugged in. So I got plugged in with Relentless Church, and I started going to church and working my recovery program. And on the day that I should have been celebrating 7 months clean, I'm in the recovery apartment with a needle in my hand. I wish I'd tell you guys I flushed it, but I didn't. Again, I'm showing grace. They allow me to stay if I'll re-examine my foundation of recovery. It means a whole lot more classes. It means a demotion and privileges, but I say absolutely. So it was that day that I earnestly began a recovery program. And there is all sorts of recovery groups you can go to. But just like on the streets where I had a dealer of choice, I had a recovery dealer of choice, and that was Celebrate Recovery. It's a Christ-based 12-step program. And you know, after I completed those steps, I realized it was a one-step program. You just give it to Jesus and get out of his way. So as a result of Celebrate Recovery and the teachings from my friend and pastor, I began to see damaged relationships restored. I began to see my children 2 to 3 times a week. They eventually started coming to church with me. Over dinner on a Friday night with my son, conversation came around to salvation. And a few minutes later, we were in the parking lot at a CVS, and I got to lead him to salvation. Later, I would have the honor of baptizing both of my children. Because of work, I needed transportation, and so I just began praying for transportation needs. And 2 weeks later, I was then again shown what obedience looks like. Because a member of our church was told by the Holy Spirit that they should give their family's extra car to me. And I remember we were at the park, and the pastor and this lady called me over, and she handed me the keys, and I was like, well, do you need me to follow you to the mechanic? And she said, no, I'm giving you this car. And that's just one thing the Lord does for me. He, in an area I'm lacking in, he sends an abundance of people that have that quality. So just a short time later, with the help of my pastor, we start a Bible study at the Recovery Center, a state-run facility. Come on, somebody, state-run facility, separation of God and church and state. And God kicked those doors down, and that Bible study still goes on every Saturday morning. Matthew 18:19 tells us, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done in heaven. So all in all, I stayed at Recovery Place for about 2.5 years. I moved out with a friend. At this time, I'm working construction. I'm doing remodels. You guys remember Celebrate Recovery, right? So one of the relationships from that group, one of the men that had been, you know, mentoring me and discipling me and just pouring into me, he called me up one day and said, hey, I'd like to interview you for a job. So I went, and it was amazing. That's I'll get more to that later, but this is the same job I hold today. My 17-year-old daughter moved in with me. I began to read the Bible to her every night. And this isn't in my notes, but I feel like this is for someone out there. My daughter's a cutter. And she had been for quite so many years. My original sobriety date is 2 days off of her sobriety date from cutting. So I'm still working for this company, and I'm apparently doing a decent enough job that they offer me a promotion. And I begin to plan a move to Orlando. So December 7th of 2018, 10:37 a.m., I sent a text that will forever change my life. Now, before I read this to you, I did ask my wife for permission to read this to you guys. It says this: I'm sorry if this is weird. The best way to say this is, I like you. But I have to keep this, but I've kept this to myself because I'm moving. But you always text me when I'm thinking about you. And so I think you like me too. Please tell me if I'm wrong. Just put that in parentheses. So now there's this thing, LOL. Ah, it's funny that I feel like I'm in middle school again. I'll just be quiet now. December 18th, the same year, after 14 months, I travel to Winston-Salem, North Carolina to get guardianship of my father. I bring him home that day. January 1st, 2019, I go on my first date with my wife. I'm sorry, my future wife. On the 19th of January, I picked up a 3-year clean ship. 3 days later, I put the dog, my dad, and the roommate in the car, and we head towards Apopka. After trying several churches in the area, we returned to New Life. That day, New Life became Wildfire. During worship, I just felt Holy Spirit just telling me, you're home, you're home. Later, in August, Jess and I just decided we don't want to be apart another minute. We don't like long distance. So we start making plans to be married. And for many months, even before August, I just felt the Lord telling me that you're going to be released when you get that ring. So I think in my carnal mind, I'm thinking, somebody's just going to show up and hand me a wedding ring. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The ring came in the form of a large check. So September 17th, when Jess comes down to surprise me for my birthday, I quickly run into my room and I grab the ring. I drop to my knees and ask her to marry me. Proverbs 18:22, we all better know this one. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Hallelujah. I praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. October 7th, Jess flies out to Utah to pick up my mother, who she's never met, never seen. And she takes that all on to bring my mom back for our wedding, which was scheduled for the 11th. So on the 11th, in front of friends and family, Jess and I were married and baptized together. October 29th, just a few days ago, while visiting my father in the hospital, the conversation once again turned to salvation. And my dad told me, I want to ask Jesus into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. I said, should I call Pastor Scott or Pastor Dave? You want me to go downstairs and find a chaplain? He says, no, you do it. So I did it. November 3rd, that's today. 3 years, 8 months, 15 days from my last shot of dope by the grace of God. And I thought Paul wrapped this up so well for me. And the Message translation, I thought was a little bit more explanation to it. So I'm going to share the 1 Corinthians 15, 10 and 11 from the Message. It says, but because God was so gracious, so very generous, here I am. And I'm not about to let his grace go to waste. Haven't I worked hard trying to do more than any of the others? Even then, my work didn't amount to much. It was God giving me the work to do. It was God giving me the energy to do it. So whether you heard it from me or from any of the others, it's all the same. We spoke God's truth, and we entrusted our lives. I don't know what November 4th looks like. I just know that all this morning, I've had a song on my heart, and no, I won't sing. Praise Jesus, right? But I'm a lover of his presence. And that's all I want to be. And this one isn't in my notes. This is also a scripture the Lord was putting on my heart this morning. And I don't know if it's for someone in here. I don't know if it's for someone listening online. But this is what John 10:10 tells us. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So I just praise you, Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that that you cared enough to stay with me. Even when I ran from you, you were running after me. Let's seek him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for who you're calling us to be, Father. We thank you that you're continually equipping us to be your hands and feet and to go out and do your work, Lord. We thank you that you've given us instructions and reminders on how we can be more like you. And even when we fall short, you love us just the same. You climbed up on the cross for all of us so that we could know you, so that we could be more like you. Father God, we owe you a debt and we can't repay it. But we thank you and we praise you and we honor you, Lord. We ask for assignment now. We ask for the anointing that you have waiting for us, Father. Let us walk into it only for the purpose to glorify you. So, Father, we just ask this. Have your way with us. Let us be yours. Let us do your good works. We love you and we praise you. And the whole church said, thank you for letting me share.
Praise God. You know what? When we sing and praise and worship, and when we hear the word, you know, I've seen churches where it's quiet, it's lifeless, and then you. When we get loud and we get boisterous, it's because we see the work of his hands living out through his people, and we see the example of the power of God, and I see that in my brother here, and that should give us a pep in our step. That should give us a reason to shout. That should give us a reason to praise. Amen. So let that give you joy today. Can I just take another 15, 20 minutes of your time? Would you guys be all right with that? I'll try to be brief, but here's the thing. Let me just tell you how cool the Holy Spirit is. He's cool. No. Let me just say this. So last week we were in this meeting. We were talking about how we can better reach our community. And so we started saying, you know, it would really help us just to hear testimonies from people. And before we said that, I had this thought in my head. I said, you know what? I was thinking during that week, there's just power in our praise. There's power when I lift up the name of the Lord, and I see it in so many different areas of my life. And I just think it just gives you so much more when you just see the example, these testimonies, and it just makes you want to praise God even more. And so what I want to say is I think that was an appointment. That was timing that we felt that idea, that vision came, and along with this word I have from the Lord, and I think these are married perfectly together under the will of God. And so I'm just going to share a quick word with you, and I invite you to continue to open up your hearts for the word of God today. And but really my question, and I know the answer, how many people just love to praise the Lord in this place? How many people just love it? I love it. Praise God. Last night was another opportunity, and I thank God for that opportunity. Praise is just very simply expressing our thanks, our admiration to the Lord, and we are all created to exalt the Lord. Psalm 66:4 says, all the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. So over this month, and these will be short words, because I want to have testimonies before we start. And this is going to be just a month long talking about the power in our praise, because I believe there are incredible ways that God works through our praise. And I'm not talking about just in church. Hear me for a moment. It's easy to praise here. It's easy to praise here. But what, you know, we've got this anointed team of worshipers and a congregation who's lifting up praises and singing, and we're all able to just kind of fit in. But what about praise in the storm? What about praise on Monday morning? It's not as easy, right? What about praise when you're at your wit's end because your kids are screaming to death and you've got a laundry list of 20, 30 things to do and you've accomplished one of them and you can only think about your problem? What about praise when you're down to your last few dollars and rent is due and you don't know how you're going to make it? See, that's where I think the power of God is most revealed, when we learn to praise through all of those circumstances. I have four main areas over this month I want to talk about and about 12 sub-points, and I'll give those to you. And like I said, I want to have these testimonies before, like we saw in our brother Todd, because I think it helps elevate our praise to a whole new level, because nothing sets your heart to thankfulness than to see the restoration power of God lived out in his people. Because I believe praise is a gateway to your restoration today. I believe praise is a gateway to your healing. Praise God. I believe praise is a gateway to your wellness. But in order to see this power of praise over your life, you need to make this a habit. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know what that tells me? Not everything, not just everything, but with every breath, praise the Lord. With every breath. When we make our praise habitual, you will experience the supernatural, I believe. Please turn with me to Psalm 71. We're going to give you lots of scripture today. Oh God, do not be far from me. Oh my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Where are the adversaries over your life? Is it dope? Is it heroin? Is it depression? Is it family members? Let's carry on. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous work. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You have done great things, O God. Who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe trouble shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. This is confidence right here. This is boldly saying, even in severe troubles, even at my lowest pit, even when I'm in the miry clay, you will revive me, you will restore me, you will return that mantle. I gotta tell you guys, I have a lot of faults, like a lot of people. We all have our faults. One of my faults is negativity. Sometimes I like to see the worst situations, the glass half empty, or however you want to say it. And so at times I almost feel like I might feel unqualified to preach this word about living a life of thankfulness and praise. But in the same thought, I said, but actually, I think that qualifies me perfectly. Because people who struggle with this idea of, oh, everyone's out to get me and everything is going wrong and there's evil all around me, those are the people who need to learn how to press in the more, the most. You need to make it your habit, day by day, breath by breath, singing the praises of God, even over your mind. And so that's why I say, you know what? Maybe I didn't feel qualified to say this, but I think it qualifies me perfectly because I think we're all very similar in some ways. And I think a lot of people might struggle with seeing only what they can see in front of them. They only see that the rent is due. They only see that it's all darkness around you. And so we let that take away our praise. We let that take away our joy and our thankfulness to God because He's good and His grace is sufficient through all of it. Verse 14 says, "But I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. Your salvation all the day." Continually means even in the trials, even in the darkest points of your life, wherever it is, even when my body is failing, even when I feel like I'm spread so thin, I've got nothing left to give, I will praise Him yet still. We don't even know the limits of God. Why? Because He is without limitation. So God wants you to look past the mess and look to Him anyways. And say, "God, I know You've done great things in my life, and I know that You will revive me again. Even in this pit, I know that You will revive me. You will restore me." 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Praise happens one moment at a time, one thought at a time, one Monday morning at a time. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So maybe thanks and praise doesn't necessarily come natural to you. That's why you need to push through even more. You need to keep pushing through and make it a habit. Amen. Get your praise on. Would you turn with me to 1 Chronicles? I'm going to try to speed this up a little bit. I feel bad for you, Jess. You've been working hard this morning, but I thank you for it. It is a blessing. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23. Says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place." Strength and gladness are in His praise, in His place. Strength and gladness is in your praise. Are you feeling weary today? I can tell you a lot of you walked in looking weary. I'm just teasing. There's a lot of weariness going around. I like to tease. You know, sometimes we get so serious in church. Sometimes we just got to have a little fun, right? You know, just going off note here, just for a second. It's okay. You know, one thing I love about this church is I think we're so open to just experiencing what God has for us in that moment. Last night, we just did a lot of random things, but it was all led by the Holy Spirit. See, it wasn't random. It was all ordained by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you got to have a little fun in church. Sometimes you got to sing a little praise. Sometimes you got to shout. Whatever you got to do to get yourself into the Holy of Holies, I think. Last week, we talked about worshiping idols in your life. What has become an idol of your life? What did this scripture just say? "For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." God reigns in the hearts of those who exalt Him, who love Him. God dwells and manifests Himself in the praises of His people. Are you ready for more of God? Get your praise on. That's the word today. Get your praise on. See, I praise God for so many reasons, it's going to take me an entire month to talk about it. I see the works of His hands day by day by day by day. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in my brother's life. I've seen it in your lives. That gives us a reason to praise. Through Jesus, there is redemption power in the blood. There is healing power in the blood. So you might not have been through the same stuff as Todd. But everyone here has a story. Everybody here has a story. The power of praise to God can lift you up and rewrite your story. When we cry out, he will meet us. When we pursue him, he will pursue his people. When we bless his name, he will bless his children. I believe that. Do you believe that this morning? So throughout this month, I have 12 points. And I believe it's good to remind ourselves and forget not his benefits. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And if you're forgetful like me, you might need to write them down on a piece of paper. Put them on your fridge, your bathroom mirror. But see these things as reminders of this is what my praise brings me to. First being, your praise invites in his presence. That's obvious, right? Oh, we've tasted that, right? God dwells close to those when we praise him. He lives there. He looks for your praise. Psalm 22:3, he inhabits the praises of his people. Point number two, praise brings us to a place of humility. We remember our dependency on God as we acknowledge our need for him. As we praise him as creator and king of this world, we admit and recognize that we're not always in control, but he is. He is above all. 1 Peter 5:6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. My third point for today, and last point, praise refreshes our spirit and renews us in his presence. We are strengthened by his peace and refueled by his joy. Through a heart of praise, we realize that God doesn't just change your situation and work through our problems, he changes your heart. The prophet Jeremiah struggled with difficulties, a lot of difficulties, including persecution and even loneliness. Yet he continually turned and praised to the Lord who can heal and save. As he says in Jeremiah 17:14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. See, those are just a handful of ways that we see God move in our praise and in a thankful heart. So if you're like me, sometimes you don't always see the best in things. Press in and just remind yourself of his grace and his mercy over your life. So someone might ask you, why do you spend so much time glorifying God? Yeah. I told you, you did a good job. Why are you glorifying God? Those who are in the habit of praise will always point back to the King of Kings and the grace of God first, right? It's always about him. That's what we need to be in the habit of. That habit is going to bring healing and restoration to your life. And I think that's why we spend so much time in our praise and worship. Let me read Psalm 63:3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. We praise because of who he is. See, he's not an abstract idea. He's not God as we perceive him or as the world perceives him. He is the mighty I am. All glory and honor belongs to him. His word is true. His promises are sure, and his love is everlasting. He rules over all nations. His kingdom will never fall. His word will never fade. He shall not be moved. Can I keep telling you more? He is the breath in your lungs today. He brings good news to the poor. He binds the brokenhearted. He sets the captives free. All of creation shouts his praise. God, do you need more reasons to praise this morning? He heals your body. If your spirit feels dry, you'll find a way out of that conflict. Praise him. Praise him for his goodness. Because the power of healing and restoration springs forth from your praise. If you're hurting, he heals. all of your diseases. If you're broken, he will restore. If you're messed up, he forgives all your iniquities. If you're lost, you can be found. Let's stand for a moment. See, when you declare his praise, you say, I'm not going to look at where I was. I'm not going to look at the thing that's right in front of me. I'm going to praise you yet still. I believe there's power in that. I praise you, Lord, because I know your word is true. I praise you because you've redeemed me and you call me your own. I praise you because you're my deliverer. You're my healer. You're my rock. That's why we praise. That's why we give thanks and exalt the Lord. See, when you run to him, you are safe. You are healed. And you are renewed. Let me read this, Jeremiah 32, 17. I love this. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Sometimes when you think about the Lord, you just need to say, ah. You just need to breathe him in. Just say, ah, Lord, you are good. Your mercies are new every day. You satisfy my longing, Lord. Your love is better than life. Nothing is too hard for you. So I'm going to give thanks for what you've done, and I'm going to give thanks for what you're going to do in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song here for a moment. The song is, Oh Come to the Altar. This morning, if you are feeling dry, if you are feeling drought in your life right now, he brings waters of refreshment today, living waters pouring out of his hands. So I invite you to praise him in this time. If you need prayer, we have people who are going to pray for you. If you need to pray where you are and you just need to worship and praise and sing the praises of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, do that from where you are. But I invite you this morning, take this opportunity right now in the name of Jesus. Let's worship together.
Jesus.
enough reason to praise right there. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is worthy of his thanks. That is worthy of all of our admiration and our praise. I thank you, Father. I thank you for the work that you're doing right now. God, I believe right now that you're healing bodies, that you're healing all disease, that you're healing brokenness, that you're healing depression. Huh. You're removing the thoughts of suicide. You're removing those curses right now. And you're bringing restoration right now in the name of Jesus. By your stripes we are healed. By your stripes we are healed. By your blood we are healed. By the power in your hand we are healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I just ask you right now to continue to invade into our hearts right now. Continue to do a work that only you can do. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give him one last praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.